Hey, everybody, the 2024 Spoilie Awards went live as of March 10th.
That's right, and if you want to see our beautiful faces, you can see it on YouTube. Check out the link in the description of this episode.
Or you can go and listen to it right now on whatever you're listening on.
The worst film of all time. The movie, while it has an engaging start, quickly falls apart. The discovery of immortal ghost pirates whose appearance changes in the moonlight is just too ridiculous. By the end of the movie, my friend and I were turning to each other and shaking our heads in shame. Not only was it unbelievable that the movie could have received such great reviews, but we had to pay to see it. If you must watch it, do so while inebriated.
Oh my, person was inebriated when they wrote this review. Hold on, though.
They got a point with the inebriation part.
What has happened to Hollywood? It seems to me that 1999 was the last great year of Hollywood with original groundbreaking movies like The Matrix, The Sixth Sense, Green Mile, and Toy Story 2, etc.
They were so groundbreaking, you couldn't even be bothered to list the rest of them.
Yeah, etc.
That was a one-star review from IMDb. Hello there, and welcome to Spoilers Intended, a podcast about series and films. I am your host, Andrew, joined as always by Ryan.
Yarr!
And Steven.
Yo-ho-ho!
This week, we are discussing the 2003 film Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, starring Orlando Bloom, Johnny Depp, Keira Knightley, and Jeffrey Rush.
Is it Joffrey or Jeffrey? I've heard people pronounce it both ways.
I've heard it pronounced both.
I've heard it Jeffrey. I've only heard it Jeffrey. Now you say really? It Joffrey, I'm like...
I'm like, oh, am I saying sure?
I've heard it. I always said Jeffrey, and I've heard like two or three people say Joffrey, and I'm like, am I the weirdo or are they the weirdo?
We'll just say Mr. Rush.
Mr. Rush.
Is he knighted? Sir Rush.
So before we start talking about pirates, we have some housekeeping stuff to do. The spoilies just happened earlier this week.
You should go check it out
after listening to this episode, of course, you know, because you need to, don't leave yet.
No, stay around.
Stay here.
We got a great episode of Pirates of the Caribbean coming right up.
But what are the spoilies? That's a great question. Ryan?
Basically, it's our version of sticking it to the Oscars. It's an award show for the people, by the people.
As long as you got to vote in this.
As long as you voted.
As long as you listened to Spoilers Intended and you voted. But, yeah, so it basically we looked at everything we reviewed over the past year, and we nominated our own type of categories, and we're totally transparent about it. You can listen to those episodes.
The whole nomination process if you want to.
It's a whole thing.
The spoilers is on our YouTube channel and as a regular episode in the feed. So you check it out however you want. I would encourage you to check it on our YouTube channel. You can see our beautiful faces. It was a great time.
Yep. And then one last thing. We have a Patreon picks poll up right now. And basically what that means is patrons at the $1 tier or above can vote in an episode that we're going to review. This poll specifically is for comedic heist films.
Yep.
So we have The Pink Panther Strikes Again, Ocean's 11 has to be in there. We have Snatch, Fantastic Mr. Fox, if you've never seen a great film.
It's fantastic.
And Tower Heist.
Yes.
So, like, we have a pretty good lineup.
Pretty good mix, actually.
Pink Panther Strikes Again is an classic.
All-time classic.
Yeah, just absolutely ridiculous.
This is the patrons' opportunity here to dictate what we review on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
You get early access.
For just $1.
To hear it first before it makes its way to the main feed and all that for just $1 a month.
Yep.
Or higher if you want.
Yep. we'll gladly take more money.
There are other things on the Patreon besides that. But
we're pirates at heart.
Yar.
All right, so speaking of pirates, let's...
Was that like yar? Like yar?
It's the Southern Pirates?
In my head, it was Y apostrophe R-A-R-R. Yar! Yar!
Yar!
Oh, man. Okay, so let's give a quick synopsis for...
Let's do it.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm just going to say pirates at this point.
It was a ride at Disney.
Black Pearl. It's the first one.
This is so buck wild. This is an adaptation of... A ride at Disney World. What?
Yeah, this is for shorthand, when we say pirates, we're talking about the first one. Curse of the Black Pearl. Yeah.
So blacksmith Will Turner teams up with eccentric pirate captain, quotation marks, Jack Sparrow, to save his love, the governor's daughter, from Jack's former pirate allies who are now the undead.
That's pretty much it.
That's it. Yeah.
They just gave it all away.
No.
Yeah, I kind of, it's weird because that was the synopsis for like basically everywhere I looked. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're kind of giving away like a 45 minute lead.
That's
there.
In the trailer, though.
It is.
It is.
I'm pretty sure. So yeah, that's like, that's part of their whole, you know, marketing. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyways. So.
Why would you, a bunch of pirates do stuff on water? End of description.
In the Caribbean.
Yeah, so pirates had a budget of $140 million, which is quite a lot.
That's
for
quite a bit. 2003. Yeah.
A domestic opening weekend of $46 million, which is pretty respectable. A total worldwide box office of $650 million. Yeah. Which is incredibly good.
I'm surprised the opening.
Ride at Disney.
Yes.
Yeah. That's an incredible return. This is the era where Disney was like, well, what can we do wrong?
I'm surprised the opening box office was that low. It was only four. Well,
no, because no one. Okay, so there's a couple. I have so much trivia for
this. Sure. I do remember at the time that this like trailers ran for this, people were like, how are you supposed to base a movie on? The ride's like 2 minutes long. Yeah.
Well, so I remember when this was coming out. And I went and saw the theaters opening weekend or whatever. Yeah. And one, I remember walking out just totally blown away by what I just watched. Yeah. But I remember going into the movie, I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to watch.
Right.
Like, yeah. I have no idea what this movie is. I just know it's pirates and it's got Orlando Bloom in it.
And I guess word of mouth probably, I would wonder if the second weekend almost like picked up or something. I'd be curious to see like, yeah, the trajectory of that. Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, this movie completely blew up. It spurred an entire franchise, which they had no intentions of. They didn't think that it was going to be successful. No,
now we have to pay Johnny Depp.
Yeah, they Disney actually thought this was going to be a straight DVD release.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and then the director.
And it's been $167 million
on a straight to DVD.
This was like, I think like in the top 10 of highest grossing franchises of all time.
Right.
Like, it's tons of money in this the Pirates franchise now. And so Gore Verbinski is he has writing credits for this. He's also the director. Mm-hmm. Never mind. My page was messed up. Gore Verbinski is just the director.
Okay.
And then a couple other people have writing credits that is not him.
Okay. But Gore Verbinski, he's got like a wild career. Like his movies swing like all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like my mind just went blank completely. My page just unloaded. But yeah, he had like a bunch of stuff where it's not wild to me that he did Pirates. It's just like it's just all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll look it up real quick.
He did Rango.
Yeah.
He did The Lone Ranger, a bunch of Pirates films, The Ring.
The Ring, that's what it was.
Mouse Hunt. Dude, like, this guy's all over the place.
Yeah.
The Mexican?
Yeah. What? With Brad Pitt, yeah.
So I'm curious of what you guys think about this, because this is definitely one of my comfort food movies. Like, I can just throw it on. Now, I've seen, obviously, the other ones all pretty much about once or twice each. Yeah. But this one I've seen, you know, upwards of 10 to 15 times easily.
I love this movie. I went to see it in the theater, as most people did in 2003. And
just walking out was just like, what did I just...
Yeah,
like,
I had a lot of fun. I remember... again, kind of like what you were saying, I didn't really know what to expect going in.
And I think that's what made it such a good movie.
Well, I don't think when I went to Disney when I was 5, I don't think I did the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I had even
really?
It was at Orlando. Did they have the...
They had it there. Yeah.
They have it there.
I don't... If we did it, I don't remember it. You know what I mean? I was only 5.
It's fun.
So, but if I did it, it didn't leave a memory that like was a core... Now, the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride, I remember every second of that.
Rub it in, the salt of the wound.
It's so like bad. I'm there all over again.
I can feel this. I can smell the salt spray.
I can smell it.
Oh, a striped t-shirt just appeared on my body. No. Okay. There's like 2 people at home that got that reference. Okay. I loved Pirates when I got out of it, for sure. And I just remember, I've only seen the second one and third one like maybe once or twice.
Now, I'll definitely say this, because I think a lot of the subsequent movies do get a bad rap.
They do.
For what they are. And I think that there's actually a lot of good things about them, particularly in the second one, Davy Jones, his visual effects
are
absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just remember that the sequels, and this is, again, I haven't seen these in forever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they leaned too hard into the comedic part of Jack Sparrow. Whereas in this movie, Jack Sparrow rides like the razor's edge the whole way through, where like he has some like serious moments where like he
yeah, he's still a character.
When he sees the medallion
and
for the first time
of himself.
Yeah. And then he has the comedic stuff. And a lot of his comedy is over the top to a degree, but some of it's very subtle.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I feel like in the other ones, he turned into like a Bugs Bunny cartoon
character. It almost happens sometimes. There's serious moments in front of you and in the background that he's there and he has like he takes a weird step as he turns and it's there. Whereas in the later movies, it was like, put the camera on
Depp
and don't let it leave.
Right. Yeah.
And that, I think that's where the problem came in with the other ones, but we're not talking about those.
We're
talking about the first one.
To bring it back to this.
The OG, if you will.
Yeah, like it's been a while since I've seen this one. Like, really sat down to watch. I've had it on in the background.
This review.
Yeah. Yes.
I would hope so.
Let me finish the sentence. Subject, already present participle. Like, let me get to the end of the. So when watching this for the review, I was surprised at how well it held up because in my head, I may just have rose tinted glasses. Mm-hmm. I may just be thinking about this movie, you know, but like Keira Knightley does great. Orlando Bloom does great. Johnny Depp does great. Joffrey Rush does great. Right? Like
Mr. Rush.
Well, like
Jack Davenport as Norrington is fantastic.
He's great. Yeah. And the movie does so many creative things that like, I don't think I fully appreciated in previous
like
viewings.
When you were watching
like the first time you see Jack Sparrow, right?
Oh, his introduction
is like so subtle though, because they're playing this heroic music and you see him and he's on the top of what you think is a giant ship.
Yeah.
And then he looks down and he sees water coming in and you're like, oh, water. And then when it pans out, you're like, oh, he's on a tiny ship. And then
it's a boat.
Oh yeah. The boat. Yeah. So how big does it have to be a ship?
Okay.
Is there like a number?
There actually is a classification.
No. So it's not a classification. This is the best way to tell.
Just a gut check.
A boat. When a boat turns, it leans into the turn. When a ship turns, it leans out of the turn.
I thought he was going to say the turn leans into it.
No.
It's that big.
Okay. Is that really a thing?
That's really a thing. That's one of the that's not like a perfect classification, but if you are like, is that a boat or a ship? That's pretty much a really easy way to tell at a distance.
Interesting.
Anyways, Johnny Depp comes into this dock and steps off his boat. And
correct.
It's just such a comedic moment because it sinks, and the guy's like, "You can't park that here, whatever."
It's one shilling for the park.
Yeah.
Well, but that little bit there is such a good little set of world building.
Yes.
Where you know he's like, "How about 3 shillings?" And we forget the name. Welcome to Port Royal, Mr. Smith.
It's played so smoothly. They don't focus on. Welcome to Port Royal. Well, they don't focus on that at all.
You learn so much about Jack Sparrow in that moment because like this music that's playing, that's all like. Adventurous is obviously in his head. He thinks he's like the coolest thing ever, and he steps off this sinking boat onto the thing. But then also he's like, you know, don't let anybody know I'm here.
Yeah.
You get to know a little bit about the port. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because because now you know that at least the dock people, or like the dock master, he is used to
dock people.
He is used to that
the
kind of interaction.
People of the dock.
Right.
Where he's like, I have no problem taking a bribe.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Corruption is everywhere.
Yeah. So, Stephen, what about you?
I love this film. It's a lot of fun. The music's fantastic.
The music's incredible.
The action sequences are quite good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of good swashbuckling.
This is another one of those moments where every sword fight you love was choreographed by Bob Anderson.
Yes.
This is a legendary English fencer who did everything. Star Wars.
He did
Lord of the Rings. Mask of Zorro.
Mask of Zorro, yeah.
I'll get there eventually for you. I'll hit one of them. Three Musketeers. Basically, any sword fight that you saw on screen, you're like,
he did it around that time period.
He choreographed it. Yeah. So, I mean, that first sword fight, big sword fight, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing is that they do a really good use of punctuation. So basically, they're using the music to basically punctuate the kind of movements and motions and stuff inside of the fight. But it's not diegetic music. It's just for us, the audience.
Well, they do a good job of that throughout. I mean, it's a similar concept to the punchline of the heroic music to our introduction to Jack Sparrow. Right. Throughout the film, they really have an understanding of the usage of the music.
And I think this is right around the turn, you know, because obviously we had like Lord of the Rings and all these other kind of movies that were really pushing, I'll say, visual effects. And this is also one of those movies where the visual effects that happen with some of the undead skeleton crew and then
a little
just
rough.
No, I don't think so. I think it does really well.
I don't. So I don't think that it's bad, but I do think on this rewatch, some of the bits were a little. That's not as.
So what bit specifically?
Well, I don't want to get into spoilers.
Well, I mean, people know they turned to undead. But, it's a 20-year-old movie.
It's 30? And so the thing.
I had a moment.
I saw Ryan's eye flash before his eyes.
One of my gray hair has turned grayer and then back to just normal gray. Like, okay, we're good. Continue, Steve. Sorry.
Well, so it's not, I'm not saying that it's bad or that you're like, oh, it doesn't hold up. I just feel like the way it's shot is shot roughly enough that it can hide some of it. And you can tell that they did it deliberately of like, hey, the only way we're going to show you this is in at dark. At night. Yes. And we're going to be kind of quick, snappy cuts on these.
Yeah.
Don't dwell on it.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely will agree there. Like, yeah. But that's, I think that's using the technology to your advantage. I mean,
at that point, at 2003, it's only going to take you so far. And if they were hey, just show the whole ship broad daylight, let's go, then we'd be like, oh, boy, this doesn't hold up at all.
Right,
well, yeah. So I remember that, like, because this was when Disney Channel was, like, a really big thing. They they played the behind-the-scenes of the visual effects breakdowns over and over and over again for, like, at least a year, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I remember watching, like, the scene and the breakdown of them on the ship the first time whenever Keira Knightley's character
the reveal
reveal of it and it's wild how much work went into that. And the other thing too is like obviously there's a lot of CGI in this, but they did a fantastic job with a lot of practical
effects. A lot of practical
like real sets. Now they did film a little bit in the Caribbean, but most of this was filmed on a set.
But you can't really tell, like, no, I'll give them that
it doesn't feel enclosed.
So there's, I have one little bit of
trivia
for that. So while returning from a night shoot on one of the Caribbean islands, Keira Knightley's boat struck a reef and went down.
Oh my gosh.
The only people aboard were Keira Knightley and her mother and the boat skipper, all of whom escaped unharmed and were rescued within a few hours.
Oh my gosh.
However, the incident ultimately determined that the rest of the island night shoot would be filmed in a studio rather than on location.
Yeah, that's almost lose one of your principal actresses to
who was only 17 at the time.
Yeah, which is why her mother's with her. She has to be on set because she's a minor.
She was like, we're sinking actually. That was the worst Keira Knightley impersonation. I was trying to do the Love Actually thing. Actually. She's got that little,
Man. But yeah, I love this movie. I think it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it's just fun. It's enjoyable. Don't be like the one-star review. You don't have to think about it too hard.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. It's magic. Even if you think about it too hard, all the pieces fit in place.
Yeah,
like this movie does a great job of setup and payoff and actually doing stuff with the ideas they set up, right? The curse of the Black Pearl. They set up what the curse is, they show you how it works, and then they play with the mechanics of that in the third act, and you know how it works.
You've seen the rules.
Modern movies don't do that.
Yeah.
No, the other thing, don't set it up, try to pay it off, and be mad when we don't make any money.
Yeah. They also do this thing where to me, this movie, and this is the rewatch brain talking, they took a lot of chances with specifically Jack Sparrow that I don't think Disney would do again.
Oh, so
it is one of those.
They show him being pretty scandalous at times, right? And Disney just has gotten into this groove now where they shy away from any character having any kind of negative traits or any kind of risky, behavior.
Because I think because it was the turn into the aughts, they wanted to be a little bit more edgy. They wanted to find something.
Yeah, they got to compete with Nickelodeon.
So it was actually one of those things where whenever Johnny Depp came to the initial script reading, no one had told him how to play Jack Sparrow at this point.
Right.
He basically showed up and he was like, I'm going to be Keith Richards, but as a pirate. And Disney hated it.
Yeah,
they were like, "You are ruining the film." And they tried to steer it away. And then after they saw him on screen a couple of times, you're like, "Okay."
And then he became the centerpiece of the franchise. And it's wild to think about Disney. It's I would love to know which executives were like, this is terrible, you're ruining the movie, and then talk to them a few years later when they're greenlighting Pirates 3
and they're like,
where are you at now?
They're Scrooge McDucking in their mansions.
We're signing you up for a 5-movie contract, but this is Pirates 3. Yes.
So even during the production, they didn't think that this movie was going to be successful. And they were basically right at the end of the filming, I think it was 6 weeks or something before the title was originally Pirates of the Caribbean, but the subtitle Curse of the Black Pearl was added at the request of then Disney chairman Michael Eisner 5 months prior to the film's release in case it was successful enough to warrant sequels.
He looked at this and was like, this could go somewhere.
This could, yeah.
Let's hedge our bets. This could be something.
Because they didn't want to basically run into the problem with Indiana Jones to where it was just Raiders of the Lost Ark and not Indiana Jones and
gotcha.
That kind of thing.
And then you run into the issue of, well, you have to say Pirates 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they wanted to have a subtitle to it, and Gore Verbinski hated the subtitle.
Oh, really?
Yes, he fought really hard to not have it in there.
The Black Pearl isn't the curse. It's just a ship.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
but basically, he greatly disliked this edition because it is the Aztec gold that is cursed, not cursed. The Black Pearl.
It should be Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Aztec Gold.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
As a compromise, Disney's marketing department agreed to print the subtitle in as small a font as possible on promotional materials.
Oh, really? That's incredible. I would love to have been in the boardroom with that when the director's like, I don't care. Make it. I don't want to see it.
What is that? 12 point? Get that down to 8.
We'll make it 6-point font, Mr. Verbinski. It'll be fine.
Yeah. But, you know, from like rewatching and recommending, I would absolutely rewatch this basically at any time. Like,
oh, it's just drop it. Sure.
Yeah, like super fun movie. Just toss it on or just watch it. You know, either one.
I had this moment when I was rewatching it this time where I was like, I need to show this to my nephew, Connor. Like, he's 9.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this,
that's peak pirate era. He's moved out of dinosaurs and now he's into Pirates are the coolest
and
thing
the whole
ever.
Time I'm watching, I'm going like, oh, he would eat this up like soup. And so now I'm like, the next time I go home, you know, watch I'm like, I gotta show it to my
man,
nephew.
Yeah. I told my wife that we had watched this for the review, and it was like, I said that to her, and I turned around, and I picked up like my dinner plate. I turned back around, and she's not there anymore, and like in the living room right here, like patting the couch. Like, come on, then sit down.
Come on, let's go.
Turn it on.
Yeah, I same thing. I was like, my wife, I was like, I gotta watch Pirates for, you know, recording this week. She's like, downstairs, upstairs, which TV did you want to watch that on? Or like,
it's the same thing with mine. I was like, I'm gonna watch it, and she was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right,
it's a universal movie.
It's Orlando Bloom's fault.
It is.
It's Jeffrey Rush's fault. He's so dreamy.
You mean Joffrey Rush?
Joffrey Rush.
Mr. Rush.
Dear listener, are the governor's daughter and spoilersintendedpodcast.com is the hunky blacksmith you just can't help but fall in love with. There, you can listen to previous episodes as well as find links to all of our socials, our Patreon, and our Discord.
Sorry.
You can't kill Andrew like that. Yeah, okay, anyways, to do a segue.
Do you want to start that one over?
No, absolutely not. Okay. We have
talk
Discord.
About the Discord.
Keep going.
You can absolutely come and join us. It's honestly a really good time. We have fun, lots of channels where, you know, we're talking about what movies we're watching, what TV shows, what games we're playing, what we're cooking. Honestly, like, it's just a good community to hang out with. We all like to have a good time. You should come join.
Yeah.
If you want to look for other ways to support and follow the show, you can follow us on socials. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Check us out on there. Every week we're making posts about what's coming out for the new episode, what's coming up this month, and other things like that. Drop us a like. Leave us a comment.
Okay, so we are through the spoiler wall of Fog. Now the fog has been lifted.
The fog is lifted and spoilers are all around us.
Yes, so if for some reason you haven't seen this movie and you don't want to be spoiled. 21
years later.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
And so here's your warning.
Turn back now if you don't want spoilers for Pirates of the Caribbean.
There be dragons over there. Yarr.
So I have, honestly, there's so much trivia for this. I'm probably not going to get through it all.
Pare it down.
I'm gonna pare it down, but I'm going to do some of the fun ones. Most of Jack's hats are made of rubber. Because Johnny Depp kept losing them overboard after he lost 10 leather hats.
Oh, my God.
The costume designer started making them out of rubber so they could float.
Wow.
See, what's funny is I think the first couple of times I watched the film, I didn't click that it was a leather hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, seeing it now, you're like, yeah, that is absolutely leather. And thinking about that in a hot, humid environment like the Caribbean, man, you would stink.
I bet a rubber hat smells just as hot, though.
So Johnny Depp improvised a ton of lines in this movie.
His
catchphrase savvy is just improvised. He just kind of came up with that just as a thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. He also wore contact lenses, which served as sunglasses, so he wouldn't be squinting in the sun all the time.
That's smart. I didn't know they made those.
I didn't either.
Can civilians get these or just actors?
All of this isn't all about Johnny Depp, but he also, because Johnny Depp has numerous tattoos, a lot of the like the stuff that's covering it up, like charcoal and like other, you know, kind of accoutrement on him is meant to just cover up his real life tattoos. Huh. And the tattoo of the Jack Sparrow tattoo was fake for the movie. However, after the movie was successful, he got a matching tattoo in that same spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I mean, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah, for any subsequent movies, I think it's real, as far as I know.
Made his career, basically.
Yeah. This is just a really weird one. According to DVD commentaries, Geoffrey Rush, Mr. Rush, has a theory that people watch the screen from left to right, just like when they read a book. Therefore, he tried to be in the left side of the screen as possible, as often as possible. He was particularly intent on doing this in scenes with the monkey and Keira Knightley because he didn't think anyone would look at him otherwise.
I'm up against Keira Knightley and a monkey.
I mean, to be fair.
I mean, that's a valid approach.
Yeah.
Sure. That's interesting that he thinks of it like that, left to right, though. That's awesome.
And then here's another one, and this is just a shameless plug for Stardust, our Stardust episode. Robert De Niro was offered the role of Captain Jack Sparrow, but he declined, thinking that the movie wouldn't do well in the box office because many other pirate movies in the past didn't. He was proven wrong, and he accepted the role of Captain Shakespeare in the movie Stardust, which didn't do well at the box office.
I told you.
Can you imagine pirates with De Niro
as Jack Sparrow?
How about you take 3 shillings and I wasn't here?
Oh, man.
You squinting.
Go ahead.
What was there was a Gina Davis movie in the mid-90s that was a pirate movie. It was like the, what was the name? Cutthroat Island? Something like
Davis. Something. Hold on.
It was something. It did terribly. I think is part of what De Niro was probably referencing. Yeah. There were like Waterworld wasn't really a pirate movie, but like there was like 3 or 4.
It was still
movies
on water.
That didn't do great.
Mad Max on water.
It is Mad Max on water.
Wet Mad Max.
Damp, moist.
Question about your trivia: did you see anything about Christopher Nolan composing the theme song?
No. So Hans Zimmer composed.
Hans Zimmer, not Christopher Nolan. Freudian slip there.
Man of many talents.
So Klaus Bladet is penned as the composer for this. However, Hans Zimmer made the original theme for it, which was from another movie in the early 90s that he kind of reused and retooled. And then Klaus went through and basically added on to the rest of the composition.
What I heard, and this was in a video, this was not, I didn't look this up to verify it or whatever. I just like, in discussions of the Pirates franchise, this person was basically doing a video essay like, hey, you should check these out. The sequels hold up better than you remember.
Yeah.
They were like,
I think they do.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't watched them to confirm that for myself, but like I've heard that. They were talking about Hans Zimmer really wanted to do this, but he was busy doing Last Samurai.
Last Samurai and Gladiator and all that.
And so specifically Last Samurai was what he was working on when this was being scored. And so he stayed up all night and wrote the theme and gave it to Klaus and said, base all your stuff around this. And then he did all the rest of the Pirates scores or whatever.
Yeah. So in that, like, so if you, whenever like you're doing like a movie score trivia game and you say Hans Zimmer, you're technically not wrong, but you're also not right.
You're not right. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So one last thing, and then we can just talk about the rest of the film.
Yeah.
When casting for the role of Will Turner, it was down to Orlando Bloom or Heath Ledger. Gore Verbinski chose Orlando Bloom because he heard that he was in Lord of the Rings and felt that he would be a more bankable choice. Means he hadn't seen the movie.
Wow. I mean, in 2003, honestly, he probably would have been a more bankable person.
Orlando Bloom came out of Lord of the Rings hot fire.
Well, this is the second one was out, right?
The Return of the King was 2003.
But was it out before this?
It wasn't out before this, but it was 2003.
Yeah, so the first initial trailer for Pirates came out in Two Towers because Orlando Bloom was in the film. That's and they wanted it
synergy.
They wanted to try and
marketing.
Yeah, marketing. Anyways, so let's talk about the movie. What is your favorite part? I mean, outside of just the movie?
Oh man. Favorite part. There's so many scenes. I'm trying to think through real quick.
So the bit with the dock guards where he's got them going on fighting with each
other.
Like, that's one of those sequences that I just don't remember existing.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think honestly the setups that are done are so good. Like the bit when they're fighting in the town, where they're like raiding the town,
yeah.
And Orlando Bloom just axes that one dude down, and he's a very distinctive pirate, so you know what he looks like. And then later in that same sequence, he encounters him again, and they even have, you know, Will Turner kind of gives a look like, didn't I axe
this guy down?
Like, I totally murdered you, right? Now you're back. Like, I don't get it, and you don't get the reveal until a few minutes later.
Yeah, because you're like, well, maybe, you know, he just didn't die.
Maybe it's his brother.
Maybe it's his twin brother.
The pirates are just tough. You know, the dude's running around with an axe in his back. I don't know.
I like when they're on the island, Elizabeth and Jack Sparrow.
Oh.
Why is the rum gone?
Yeah. I started the part, but why is the rum gone? And then he's like, you know, they'll never find us or whatever. He goes over the hill and there's the ships already there.
There'll be no living with her after this.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
That's a great moment. So mine, I really like anytime Barbossa is on screen.
Oh, Barbossa's killer.
Because Geoffrey Rush does such a good job with being the villain. And the thing that I like about his like version of like just an evil guy is that he's just a bad guy. He's just a pirate captain.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else beyond it.
He woke up one morning and was like, you know what would be cool? What if we mutinied against our captain?
Yeah.
We're already pirates, but I would like to be a piratier pirate.
I would like to pirate a little harder than the rest.
And he just does such a good job at selling that where, like, you know his motivations the whole time. And I really like the setup of initially whenever Elizabeth goes on to the Black Pearl and she makes a deal to leave Port Royal and never return. And then he was like, well, that wasn't part of the agreement that you're still going to be on this boat. He wasn't going to let her off anyways.
Right.
But it's a good
it's
a good intro into his mental state of whenever he's making these kind of deals. So then you get the good payoff at the end whenever Will comes up and he's like, well, all of them go free. And it's like, well, you didn't specify when or where.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's those kind of little like tidbits of information that the audience knows. And like, oh, well, he didn't say when or where.
The whole time he's saying, like, oh, this guy's gonna like let you out right here.
I also love how they establish that like making a deal with a pirate is kind of like getting a wish from a genie. You got to be like dead on specific with this or it's going to be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
In their favor.
I also love that like, They put together this like ragtag crew of people that Johnny Depp is like, Jack Sparrow's like, I don't like this. The parrot speaks for the one guy. Yeah. And then by the end of it, you're like rooting for this crew. Oh, you're like, these people are awesome.
Well,
like,
they do such a good job of kind of, you know, filling in those personalities, but not making them the focus of anything.
Or that you have to spend a ton of time learning about the character to care. It's just, hey, we just have recognizable caricatures.
Yes.
And we're good. Mm-hmm. We passed the silhouette test, and we have some idea of some background here.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you've got Pentel and Rigetti, which they're not named in this movie, but it's the bald pirate and the one with the wooden eye.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
They keep
coming back up. They're hilarious.
And I think they name them later, but in this one, I don't think they say their name a single time.
Yeah. Basically, all the other pirates don't have a name.
Right.
You know them by their distinctive characteristics, and that's it.
But someone mentions the word parlay.
I love the idea too that like, you know, Will Turner doesn't understand that his dad was a pirate, you know, Bootstrap Bill.
Yeah.
And like that kind of discovery is interesting. It's
a great scene too, whenever he gets, you know, kind of thrown off to the side of the boat holding on to the backmast. I don't know what it's technically called.
Yeah.
And Jack Sparrow's just like, you can accept it that your dad was a pirate, you know, and just deal with it, or you could not. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. This is what truth is, my guy. Accept it and move on.
That's how reality works.
Yeah.
But then seeing, like, Elizabeth and Will's relationship, like, to me, there is a different version of this movie where that is the sole focus, and it overshadows everything else. Yeah. I feel like we get enough of it.
Yeah.
It's believable. Their romance makes sense.
I mean, and then, you know, they're childhood sweethearts.
Yeah, and so it works for me. Like, whereas I could see some people seeing that you don't get enough of the development between the two of them for it to really be impactful, but it's like, that's not the point almost. You know what I mean?
Especially when they come out with your introduction to Elizabeth is her as you know, a child, and then Norrington's here. You're like, oh, he's just a full grown man.
Yep.
Oh, this is weird now.
Well, yeah. And now I will say this, like back then, obviously that's kind of commonplace. But then the other thing is too, is that because they're British Navy, everyone wears the wig. So everyone already looks older than they really are.
Speaking of though, the dad, the governor, Jonathan Pryce, his wig is like black earlier in the scene.
Then it gets gray.
Then it's like grayish, but not white.
And then it turns white.
And I'm like, so wait, is he trying to age himself like naturally? These other people just have the white. I'm going to stick to my real hair color just in wig form. And I was like, is that a thing of status? I don't know enough about the wig.
I have no idea.
I haven't earned the white wig yet. You know? The other thing I was going to say is that like, you know, Jeffrey Rush, we've talked about his character, but it's like the scenes at the end with him and Jack Sparrow, where it's Barbossa and him going back and forth fighting and the gold. And you've got the trick that like, you don't realize that, you know, or well you do, but you don't, he doesn't realize that Jack Sparrow has like
has stolen, grabbed some coin, of the gold. Yeah.
And again, that's what I was talking about earlier with like, they take the curse and it's not just there as like a setup for like the pirates.
They're bending
it's,
the rules.
Yeah. And the use of, now we're going to break the curse right when these guys, you know, are in the middle of attacking all this kind of stuff. Yeah. So it takes their whole advantage away from them. Like, yeah. To me, I didn't remember that from, well, I remembered it from the first time I watched it, but I didn't remember how well they set it up and executed that.
They do
kind of
such
stuff.
A good job of explaining the rules of the curse, how it can work, how it can work against you, and then you can see what the strategy may be, and then the payoff is, you're like, ah, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And so, it's not that it's the most complicated idea ever. No. I think it's just refreshing when I've seen so many movies lately that don't do this. They don't do
the
setup.
Explain anything.
They
don't
either
explain
don't anything. Set it up, or they just can't figure out how to pay it off.
Yeah, or like in a modern movie, it would be, the curse does this, and then the next scene they would have it do something else they haven't explained to you because this is how we get out of this scene. And then the next scene, oh, well, because of the curse, we can also turn transparent, float to doors. And it's like, what? So you can't trap the, like they would just keep using it you know, instead of having like a simple setup payoff type, you know.
So fun fact for Jeffrey Rush, he was adamant about choreographing. There it is.
There it is.
Jeffrey Rush was adamant about choreographing and practicing sword fighting scenes to the point that the stunt team would get sick of dealing with him.
Mr. Rush, no dude, more.
The dude is like, I'm getting paid, and by God, I'm going to be good with a sword at the end of this. Well,
secretly, he had like already promised a sword duel with someone after filming. And he's like, I've got to get as good as I can before this movie wraps.
So according to the screenwriter's commentary on the DVD, Will Turner is the best swordsman in the film. Barbossa and Commodore Norrington are evenly matched, and Jack Sparrow is actually the worst.
That's
which
surprising.
Is not surprising but at all.
Because his fighting isn't that I'm here to fight you. It's I'm here to cheat because well, pirate.
So apparently Johnny Depp wanted Jack Sparrow's fighting style to be more like Muhammad Ali, where he's basically Muhammad Ali as a boxer would wait for you to come to him.
Yeah.
And like, and basically do the least amount of energy possible to stop you from
low effort.
Yeah.
Highest payoff.
Yeah, pretty much. And then other thing is to kind of like the setup and payoff for the curse of him stealing the coin. Mm-hmm. They actually initially didn't have that in the movie.
Really?
And audiences, like test audiences, couldn't understand. They thought like, well, did he have a coin the whole time? Like, but then why, you know, if he was outside and under the moonlight, why didn't they
show him? Yeah.
So then they added that in.
A scene of him just pocketing it. Mm-hmm. That's wild. They didn't have that in there originally.
That small sequence of him where he reaches in and picks him up.
Great.
And he just slowly drops them. Then you can, and he does the kind of motion with his fingers. You can tell he palmed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's a good little bit because it's also showing how his character gets around these kind of touchy situations because he's really good at distracting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, his style.
Two random things. Number one, I forgot Zoe Saldana was in this movie.
She hated the production for this.
Really?
Yes. Didn't hate the actors and actresses that she was working with. She hated the politics of the actual production.
What was going on with the politics?
I actually had it as a trivia and then I took it out.
And granted, Disney was trying to get rid of, you know, Johnny Depp. They hated Jack Sparrow.
Apparently because she was not a big name at the time.
Yeah.
The disparity of how different actors were treated differently on set. You know, because she was a lower actor, you know, stand-in, she was not treated as fairly as, like, Keira Knightley was.
She was treated like an extra.
Yes.
But, I mean, she's not on the poster, so she's part of it.
Yeah, she's not even, I mean, like, she's in the credits, but she's not, like,
No.
In the credit. And
I only recognize, I mean, like, it's Zoe Saldana. I just, like, I had this moment where I was like, I can't believe she's in this. Yeah. Like, I forgot all about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing was Gibbs, the character.
Oh, right? He's fun.
He's in the intro when they say yes. Will, right? And he's on, like, a naval ship or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets him in Tortuga, he's like, I guess had years of pirating. And I'm like, what happened to this guy? Like, how did he fall? Like, where did that happen?
I think that could just be part of your life.
But he was the one who was so superstitious about the pirates. I want to see that story. I want to see, like, what happened to get this guy to go from, like, oh, there'd be pirates. We can't. And then to being like, I'll be a pirate.
Well, that's the thing.
I'll be a pirate.
That's not necessarily that he was a pirate before that. He was just a mercenary.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was part of the original crew and sailed off with Jack during the mutiny, and that's why he hates pirates.
So
let's go.
I do have a question. So, because, you know, we've talked about Jack stealing the coin at the end of the film, which is basically the only reason why they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well, that combined with then they break the curse at
Because he has the coin, he has control over whenever they break the curse.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
But whenever he takes it, his body is still 100% decomposed whenever, like, he gets shown in the moonlight or whatever. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that the curse just makes these people exactly at this level of decomposition?
Yeah. I think so.
That is one of the things, because Barbossa does talk about how over time they lost their appetite.
Yeah.
And, you know, sex doesn't satisfy. Yeah, other things happen. And, like,
coitus.
Thank you. That that is one of those things where it lends itself to the decomposition over time, you would think.
Yes.
They're not,
where my question comes from.
But they have to visually show you that he has the curse.
Yeah.
And that's the
visual
cues.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'd be weird if he looked like a day younger. It's like, I don't see that stain's going off his shirt. Oh, he's cursed.
Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely one of those where, like, every time I see it, I'm like, I'll allow it.
And maybe it was a thing where, like, Barbossa and them didn't go out in the moonlight for the longest because they were all asleep or something. I don't know, like, at night. The night watchman's like, wait a minute. Things are weird out here. You'll never guess what I saw. You're crazy.
I actually don't think I even talked about my favorite part of the film.
Oh, what's your favorite part?
So whenever the Black Pearl and the Interceptor basically go head on. They drop the anchor. They do the quick turn.
Do the full
shooting the forks and knives.
Yeah, I love that whole scene because I think one of the biggest things that you always want out of a pirate movie or a pirate game or whatever is you have the full broadside of
the boarding.
You gotta have it. Boarding, everything like that, where you just have just full on cannon fire in between, mast and stuff.
Well,
just falling
there's
down.
A moment before that happens where you think they might get away.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like, oh. Okay, well, we're not going to get that right here. But then it's like, oh, we're getting
And Steven can kind of attest to this because I don't know if you played Sea of Thieves.
I didn't. I've seen a lot of it.
But one of the funnest things in that game is to basically cannon over to another ship and then drop the anchor.
Yeah,
and then you can just watch the ship just immediately turn.
U-turn, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's so satisfying. Yeah,
you're being chased, so you don't want to be chased, so you send a buddy back to just wreck them on that.
Yeah, it's a good time. So one little bit of trivia here. So whenever the monkey Jack comes and brings Barbossa the coin.
That's a good
coin.
Joke to reveal when I named him Jack.
Named him Jack. Yeah. But so whenever he's sitting on his Barbossa's shoulder and Barbossa thanks Jack and the monkey smiles, that was completely unscripted.
Really?
Like the monkey just did it.
That's awesome.
And they're just like, all right, we're done.
Like,
put it in the can.
One take all today. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's one of those things that it happens in a movie. You just take it.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Like, you're just like, all right, put it in. We're done. That's it. No more shots of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this movie's just a lot of fun. And
it is.
Whenever you think of this, I think a lot of people do give the sequels that came after it not a good rap because I think they're too ridiculous.
Well, see, I think two was fine.
Two was pretty good.
And three was also acceptable. I think four was when it got.
Yeah, four, like, I'm really only talking about two and three.
Yeah. So I've never seen four or five, I don't think. I've seen parts of four. I've never seen
four
five.
Four is not very good.
I remember two and I haven't seen two since theater.
Yeah.
But I remember it being just Jack Sparrow runs towards the camera away from danger, the movie. And like that's so many different scenes of him running.
Budget
he's running.
Tom Cruise.
So yeah. He does like, or at least at World's End, the third movie.
The third one I remember being too long.
It's a little long, but yeah. They do have some honestly some fantastic sequences in there.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of fun stuff, like fun things that they do with just how ridiculous the scenes are, where you know they're like in this whirlpool and they're shooting cannon fire across the whirlpool at each other.
That, so, yeah.
And like that's really cool
out there.
Yeah. And it's totally ridiculous, but it's fun.
Yeah, I just feel like, and this, I want to go back and rewatch them now. Mm-hmm. Like now I'm like, I've seen this first one. I just remember when I first saw the second one in theater, I was let down that it wasn't as good as the first one in my mind.
Yeah.
It was like, because the first one was so good.
Well, and it's so encapsulated into itself to where you could just, you don't need any other films to tell the rest of the story.
And I felt like the Davy Jones, obviously effects and stuff were great, but I felt like the plot, I think, is where it starts to get kind of complicated.
Yeah.
And maybe not overly complicated. It's just a matter of like, I think I went in wanting that simple, straightforward. Mm-hmm.
And it was more convoluted.
And it was
and
a little more.
Layers and layers
which
and layers.
Is now maybe in rewatching, I'll appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would like to rewatch 2 and 3 for sure. I'd like to give 4 and 5 a shot because I've never actually watched them. Have you seen 5?
Yeah, I've seen
5, the one with London.
Yes.
Oh, it's Javier Bardem, right? In 5?
I think so.
He's the bad guy?
I can't remember, but I know 4 is the one where Johnny Depp is on, like, or Jack Sparrow is, like, riding stagecoaches on a safe through town.
That's in London.
Is it?
I think that's in London.
I can't remember.
Either way, yes. Yeah, so
sure.
I saw that movie, apparently. It wasn't good enough for me to remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind watching 2 again. I don't know that I necessarily want to go much further.
Yeah. I just didn't. I thought 2 was good.
It wears, like, the shtick wears thin after a while. Mm-hmm. But, again, the first version is just so, it still feels fresh.
Oh, it does.
20 years later.
Well, and the comedy holds up. The effects, I think, hold
action
up really
action
well.
Holds up.
The action, yeah, like I mean, all
the plot as a whole works well. The twist where, you know, Elizabeth gets captured and she thinks she's clever. Oh, I won't reveal I'm the governor's daughter. So
but then this turns into a whole problem.
And that turns against her.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all that, like those kinds of plays just work so well throughout the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the movie does a fantastic job. And if for whatever reason you're still listening and you haven't seen this movie, you absolutely should see it.
Yeah. Check it out. It's on
Disney
Plus.
It's on Disney Plus. Like, it's honestly great. And I hope at some point, whenever the movie becomes very old, they do a re-release and we can watch it in theaters.
They did one this past fall, I think.
Did they?
It was like 6-7 months ago.
Mm. Was it like for like the 20th anniversary?
Yeah,
say that.
It was 2023. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That would be the 20th anniversary. Well, you gotta wait.
Yeah.
You gotta wait 5 more years.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we all went. Andrew, where were you?
Yeah,
we all went together. We saved you a seat. You weren't there. No. Pretty sure they did it, yeah, for the 20th.
Okay. All right. Well, that does sound like we're getting close to wrapping up here. But before we go, we do have to talk about our Patreon because that is what we do.
We got one tier.
How we keep the lights
just
on.
Just one.
One tier. It's $1. You know why? That's all it should take to get in here and see all the good stuff we got. If you want to give us more, please go right ahead. We will not
stop you.
But we
love our gold.
Bonus episodes. They're different than our normal episodes. They're not really reviews. We go wild. We did like recently in February, we had like a ChatGPT
relationship advice from ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT gave us relationship questions and we answered them and it went off the rails.
Yeah, just completely just absurd.
Yeah, in March, we have the March Madness bracket.
Yep.
So we're doing the best movies that have ever come out in March. We did a bracket. We had them duke it out. It was
interesting.
It was pretty interesting. Was some of the matchups.
There were some real bangers released in March.
Yes, yeah. There really were.
You think of that as like a slow season, but there's actually a lot of stuff.
That is the beginning of the real season of movie releases, apparently.
Apparently,
and,
yeah.
You know, also we have commentaries on the Patreon. It's kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000 style stuff where you can, you know, play the commentary on your podcast device of choice, your laptop, your phone, sync it up with the movie on the TV, have a great time.
And we also have Patreon Picks Polls, which we have the one running right now for the month of March, where you can help dictate what we review on the cast.
Yep. Yeah, and this month it is comedic heist films, Pink Panther Strikes Again, Ocean's 11, Snatch, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Tower Heist, which are all, you know, right up in that alley. Ocean's 11 had to be on that list.
It had to be. And again, you can be a part of all that for $1, and it supports us directly. It's a fantastic way to do that. We really appreciate all our patrons.
Yep. So, as always, follow us on social, leave us a review wherever you're listening right now, and share us with a friend. So, until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Steven.
And every spoiler was intended.